What's up, guys? Fantasy footballers, I know you guys are ready. Back for some fantasy action. Hopefully you guys won your matchups, beat your friends, started bragging, all because of the great advice that the late round flyers provide here in the DFW, across the nations. Everybody listening, we're here to get you guys back. I'm RDA. You already know that I would say in the building, but I mean, technically, COVID has a spread out. One guy is across the state. The other one's in another building. It's wild, but I myself, I'm RDA. I have Lance Henry here, the late round flyers. We are ready to get you guys going, and especially after a gruesome, crucial week. It's been devastating for everyone across the NFL. So, boys, talk to me about your week two recap real quick, and then we'll kick things off.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here again. Good to see you guys. It was a brutal week two. Man, I can't even remember the last week there's been this many injuries to deal with, and such major injuries from Barkley to McCaffrey, Cortland Sutton. Goodness gracious. So just to let you guys know, you know, obviously I'm in a lot of leagues. I finished up 18-17 this week. Had some bad luck, but to be honest, I got to come clean, guys. I made one lineup screw up that cost me my matchup. And if there's one thing I'm going to be, is honest, okay? I, for some reason, felt like Scotty Miller was going to be a really good play once we knew Chris Godwin was ruled out. Mm-hmm. And in one of my leagues, I have a pretty good bench, but I sat DJ Moore and played Scotty Miller over him. Ooh. And lost by just a few points. And as we know, Moore had a really good game and mm-hmm. Scotty Miller was terrible. So on and upward, the one thing in fantasy, you make those screw ups, you learn from your mistakes, play your studs. Don't overthink it like I did. I'm fortunate to come out, you know, 18-17, could have been worse. But what about you, Henry? How'd you do?
I didn't do as well as you. I won about 25% of my leagues this week. It was a rough week. It was a tough one. So I went from being a mile high, sitting on top of the mountain, to dropping pretty low. But I will be honest with you. I avoided all the injuries this week. So I was very, very fortunate. Lance, I know you loved Saquon Barkley. So that was your guy going into the season. God, how are you feeling about that right now?
I'm not feeling too good, man. You know, we took him in our podcast league, and he was
because
our RB1.
Because
of me. Okay, okay. But come on, who was not going to take Saquon number two overall? You know, looking back on it, okay. But, yeah, so now we're having to kind of do some running back therapy and get some make some changes on that team. But, yeah, it's tough. You know, I tell you, the one thing even tougher is in Dynasty. I had him in a couple of Dynasty leagues, and I was trying to figure out what to do. And actually in one of them, I went ahead and made the decision to trade him. I ended up getting a really good deal. I felt I got Michael Thomas and I got David Montgomery as well as a second round 2021 pick. So it was one of those situations that with Barkley, I wasn't going to sell him low by no means, because yes, he's out this year, but next year he should hopefully be back to where he was. But the injuries for me just ended up becoming too much to have to want to worry about. And knowing I got Michael Thomas back with Montgomery, I went ahead and took the deal. But you know, in redraft leagues, it just sucks because you're SOL, and yeah, it's kind of like what do you do? But it definitely was a big blow. I feel terrible for the guy. And apparently, Devontae Freeman is now on the map.
That's right, man. You know what? Devontae Freeman out of the streets, just like me, because we were both homeless at one point. I'm not homeless, but I'm pretty sure Devontae Freeman without a job still has a better house than I do. But anyways, so we got a lot to talk about because week two is insane. It was crazy. So one of the things I want to get to, like you guys were just talking about, Saquon Barkley. Many people that are listening to us, mostly I would assume play in redraft leagues where they just play with their friends every year. They draft a brand new team and they just see how that plays out. And like Lance said, you do not skip on Saquon Barkley with that number two overall pick. Heck, if you have the number one overall pick, you probably take up Saquon. And you know what? At the end of the day, you're SOL. That does happen. But there were also other injuries that happened across the board, with one of those guys being my my best friend, my hero, the idol of my life, the guy that I would turn over anything I own to forever. Christian McCaffrey, that one hurt my soul. And I'll be honest, like, if he's in the hospital, like, I would go visit him if I wasn't get, like, arrested or anything for that. So, guys, talk to me about the rest of these injuries here.
So, hey, I want to know, too. I mean, is Christian McCaffrey, are we looking at 2 to 3 weeks? Or are we looking at 4 weeks? Where are we at with that?
So, he was put on IR, obviously, with the new IR rules. He's out 3 weeks. this guy is obviously physically fit, and he's going to do everything he can to get back as soon as possible. So I think, you know, it's minimum 3 games, 3 weeks, could be longer. Here's the conundrum for McCaffrey owners in these redraft leagues. What do you do? If you have him, do you try to trade him? Or if you don't have him, do you try to trade for him? A buddy of mine, Garrett, in one of his redraft leagues, he actually traded Eckler for McCaffrey. And so apparently he felt like his team was just good enough that he could make it for the few weeks, but it's going to make or break him. And I told him, you better make sure you get Mike Davis if you can. And I don't think he had very good waiver wire priority. So I don't know if he got him, but you know, it's an interesting question. So Henry, if you have McCaffrey, would you be wanting to go ahead and trade him, or what would you do in that situation?
I think it really depends on, is this going to be a keeper league? Is this going to be a league that you're, is a redraft league? I would say in a keeper league, I'm holding on to that guy. But a redraft league, I could see maybe doing that. I don't know about Austin Eckler, because I feel that it's pretty comparable. And especially if they change over to a new quarterback, he's going to be an outlet. I see them moving the ball down the field quickly and trying to dump off some stuff similar to what they did in Oregon. And so it's going to match up good with Herbert over there. Honestly, though, I would probably stick with Christian McCaffrey across the board. I wouldn't trade him. Or trade.
Yeah, I think too, it depends on what your roster construction is, because if I'm sitting there and I have McCaffrey and I've got decent running back depth and I know I can get by, then yeah, I'll hang on to him because I know I can make up for it. Or if I have some really top wide receivers that aren't hurt, then definitely I'm going to hold on to him. But man, if I've started off 0-2 or 1-1 and I look at some of these other teams in my league and you got to make up ground quick. Sometimes, you know, you might have to consider it for the right deal. And so with Garrett and his team, you know, I felt like maybe he thought he was okay and he could trade Eckler to get McCaffrey. And so he's going to roll the dice. So you just got to look at your roster and see what you can make it through, because yes, it's minimum 3 weeks, but it could be even longer than that. So you are taking that chance, but if you can wade those waters, if you can get through it and then get McCaffrey by week 7, week 8, get ready for that playoff run. Dude, he's carrying you to the championship at that point. You just got to make it there.
Oh, God, Christian McCaffrey. God, I love that guy. I mean, have you seen the muscles on this guy? I mean, Jesus, makes me want to start working out. But then, you know, lifting weights, that kind of tires me out just looking at them. So another guy that got hurt, and the Denver Broncos and the Philadelphia Eagles. According to Henry, the SMU brothers, those guys, Cortland Sutton and Jalen Reagor, both going down. What are we going to do about these SMU cats? Because right now they're making Texas look a little bit bad, but that definitely leads up to guys maybe like Jerry Jeudy or maybe someone else for that Philadelphia offense. Henry, talk to me here.
You know, just so we don't offend Jalen Reagor, let's go ahead and make sure he's TCU. So,
oh, my bad.
And that's all right. I just want to make sure if he's listening out there, I want him to know we got respect. So,
oh, definitely. Texas brothers.
That hit me hard, though, man. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I got Reagor. I drafted him. I was excited. I think Lance got me excited on this show week 1. And then, boom, it's just injury after injury. And it's a little worrisome, to be honest with you, being a Reagor owner. I'm going to hang on to him, obviously. It's a keeper league. It's a rookie dynasty league where we can keep a rookie for free. There's no reason getting rid of him. I think it's a finger, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't see him being out for longer than hopefully the 3 weeks, and he can get back in there and ball. I know it's going to increase some value right now in somebody named DeSean Jackson, but we'll talk about that a little later. What do you got on Sutton, Lance?
Yeah, so this is terrible for this kid. You know, he was coming off a year or two last year that he was really coming into his own. And then, you know, Drew Locke was balling out the end of the season. And then this year, that offense, I was really excited to see the whole package with Locke and Hamler and Jeudy, Sutton, Fant. So now, you know, Sutton's out for the year. So if you have redraft, obviously just you're dropping him. I might see if KJ Hamler is out there on the waiver wire, but right now too, Drew Locke is hurt. He's out at least, I believe, 3 weeks. So you've got Driscoll in there. He didn't look terrible last week. You just don't know with the quarterback play. So I think as far as the Broncos go, Judy's going to see an uptick in targets, but with Driscoll there, is it really going to be that much of a difference? I think Noah Fant is the one who's probably going to benefit the most because, you know, he's going to be a security blanket for Driscoll, and he'll definitely get you those targets in PPR. But, you know, Sutton, if you have him in Dynasty, keep him. You know, if you get an offer for him, Maybe you go ahead and look at trading him for a draft pick or something, but it just, it sucks for that guy because he obviously worked so hard to get to where he was, and for it to end this way this season, you know, it sucks.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because everybody knows after the third year, you can redo your contract, get an extension. So that really sucks for Courtland Sutton. Looks like we have to hang in there for that fourth year option. Well, he'll have the fifth year option still, but normally after the third year or fourth year, they'll renegotiate. But enough of these bad guys, all right? I hate injuries. This season was terrible for all these. I mean, this week was horrible for all these injuries, literally left and right, which we'll get into as the show continues. But one of the things I want to get to, one of the most amazing comebacks that I have ever seen in my life. Personally, I was able to witness it in person. I got to be at AT&T Stadium. That was great to see. But I want to get to Dak Prescott because obviously the fantasy football world exploded with him. I mean, he literally has 3 rushing touchdowns, 400 passing yards. Incredible, has never been done in the history of the NFL. But can you expect this from him? Can you expect this from him consistently? That's going to be the key because everyone knows Patrick Mahomes, consistent. Lamar Jackson, maybe not with Henry, but consistent. The rest of these guys, Russell Wilson, I mean, you name them, these guys are about it. So is Dak Prescott ready to take that next step and be like, hey, Dak Prescott, you don't bench him for anybody. Guys, what do you guys think?
Yes, 100%. Sorry, yeah. Lance, go ahead, man.
No, you're good. First, can I say, which loss was worse for the Falcons? Was it against Dallas this past weekend or the Super Bowl against the Patriots 27-3? These guys can't close out games for nothing, right?
I'll be honest. While I was at the game, so people were talking so much trash to me, and I was thinking about it. I was like, do I go to jail or do I just watch the game? And I was like, I'm going to just watch the game. And then afterwards, they all disappeared. So anyways, back to fantasy football. Henry, what you got?
Man, I think he is absolutely going to be an elite fantasy start for the rest of the season. I tell you why, too. One, I think that the play calling. Dak is getting the opportunities. This play calling now, he's opening up the book. He's allowing his elite quarterback to make decisions and get out there and actually throw the ball. 47 throws this past week. I mean, that's amazing. If he even hits 50% of those with the team he has around him, he's going to put up over 300 yards. So what he ended the game with 450 yards, like you said, 1 passing touchdown, 3 touchdowns rushing the ball. And it really didn't even look like it was that hard for him this week. It looked like the team was just taking it in stride once they got the ball going after that first and second quarter. There were kind of some challenging times there after they got the injuries and a few other things. One guy that really stepped up, though, was Schultz. And I think that if he can keep his level of play high, I think he's going to be a great outlet for Dak. And I think he's going to get them into those – after the second and third down little jams that they get in every once in a while, he's going to be a good outlet. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott's going to be his number one. But if Schultz can be there and he can be a common thread there, I think it's going to be great. Also, Cooper and Lamb. Lamb stepping up this week, and he actually looked like the guy that they drafted. I think that's going to be huge for them, especially for Dak and his fantasy play. Their schedule is only going to get – they got some tough games throughout, but they're going to play – the Eagles, the Washington Redskins, and the New York Giants, excuse me, the Washington team and the New York Giants. I think all three of those teams are going to allow Dak to put up some great numbers. He's going to get you some great wins this year. I would stick with Dak knowing he's an elite option. I know Lance got him on some bum trade in our dynasty league, and he was able to get him as his quarterback to go forward. So I know Lance is happy seeing this.
Yeah, that guy was a moron. Like I had waited to take a draft in this dynasty startup. It's a 1 quarterback league, and I kept passing on quarterbacks because I was taking these skill players. And then I looked up and like it was Gardner Minshew and Bubby Brister, I think. And I got lucky. This dude offered me Dak, and I gave him some draft picks and got him. But here's the question I have, Henry. You mentioned Dalton Schultz, okay? Now I'll take the blame. Last week, RDA brought up his name after Jarwin got hurt, and I said, who the hell was that? Forget him. So that's on me. But here's the question, though. Is he going to be a consistent option, Henry? Because I think, you know, maybe this was a one-hit wonder possibly because of the matchup of Atlanta being so bad. And I think I need to see more of it before I'm wanting to pick him up and even considering trusting him.
I will agree with you 100%. I can't see this being like, oh, you must go grab him and start him. I say pick him up, though, if there's an opportunity and you have room, because with this type of offense, I believe that, and forgive me, I went blank. The tight end that got hurt before.
Blake Jarwin,
excuse me, thanks. When Blake Jarwin was coming into the season, I mean, he was being praised as being a low-end tight end one. There was a lot of talk of him doing a great this year, go draft him. Now that he's out, there's going to be somebody's going to step into his shoes. And the Cowboys seem to love tight ends. They love to pass the tight ends. Dak grew up behind Tony Romo, or at least part of it. They know about tight ends. It's been passed along. I really think that it's going to be an outlet. I believe that go out, grab Schultz, put him on your bench, keep him, see if this is going to be a consistent thing. For sure play the matchups, keep an eye on it. But I do, Lance. I think that he's going to be somebody that could blossom into a really, really good tight end option for you.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that. I mean, Dalton Schultz had himself a nice day. One of the things I did want to get into about that game was CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, I remember during before the season began, one of the things that we had been talking about was who was CeeDee Lamb, who was he going to affect the most? And I had said it was going to affect Michael Gallup because obviously he had a great year the year before. But this season, Michael Gallup, he's been taking a bit of a cutback. It's early. I 100% agree. But during the first two games, CeeDee Lamb has 15 targets and 11 catches. On the other side, Michael Gallup doesn't have anywhere near that. He has 5 receptions over both games. So he's been very reliant on that big play. They haven't landed him touchdowns, which is why, again, I had said that CeeDee Lamb was a guy that if it was going to affect anyone, maybe not Cooper, but 100% it would affect Gallup, and it's been taken to effect so far. Lance, you got anything?
Yeah, I do have the question. Has Lamb already passed up Gallup in the pecking order in this offense, especially for fantasy? So I would say right now, not yet. You know, it's only two games. It's very early. But Lamb is already, proving his value a little bit. And you could have, Jerry up in the press box saying, pass that to my guy. I drafted him first. Let's get him going. And I'm not opposed to that. I got Lamb in as many leagues as I could possibly have gotten him in. But I do think if you have Gallup, don't give up on him yet. This guy is a performer. I think he'll be fine. There's going to be a game, maybe even this coming weekend, where he blows up and Lamb doesn't do anything. I think it's going to be cyclical every week on different guys getting these opportunities. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on him, Henry?
I would be very worried if you're a Michael Gallup owner right now, because they didn't choose number 88 for any other reason, and they're going to feed him the ball. So I think that I'm all in on Lamb being the guy there in Dallas. I would be very, very concerned if you're Michael Gallup. Now, like you said, it's early on. He's a rookie. It's going to take some time. But by the end of the season, you're going to have dropped Gallup or hopefully have traded him midseason to get rid of him.
Oh, man, you know what? Now I'm starting to look into some trades out there. Real quick, obviously the Dallas Cowboys have a ton of offensive weapons over there and great info, guys. Now let's get over to another guy. The Monday night game was the New Orleans Saints taking a big loss to the Oakland Raiders. Now, everybody's going to want to start thinking to themselves, is Drew Brees the kind of guy that you need to be putting in your fantasy starting lineup right now? Because he's coming off a game where, yes, 312 yards, that was awesome, but he only had one touchdown and the pick to go with it. So that Oakland Raiders defense, I'm not trying to throw any shade there away, but that defense doesn't scream, hey, man, we're elite or anything. But for some reason, they were able to get Drew Brees riled up, and he was missing some throws. Drew Brees, being from Texas, I love him. I'm a little biased in that area because, he's from this area, and it was awesome to see him play football right here. Now he's over there doing his thing. But Drew Brees, he's a little bit older. He's starting to lose that arm strength. That accuracy is starting to fade away. And I think you saw very much so that he missed Michael Thomas. Not having MT13 is very much a big problem for Drew Brees, just as it would be for Michael Thomas to not have Drew Brees. Henry, you got any thoughts on this?
I'm really just torn because I think that Michael Thomas is – there's an effect here. I think that Michael Thomas not being in the lineup is causing this. They are running the ball a little bit more. Traquan Smith, I was wrong, completely wrong with that board bet.
Wait,
I was wrong? Yes, I was wrong.
I was right?
You were right, sir. You were right. But, it wasn't by much, so it was only by 4 catches. So
I just want to say
60 yards.
Yeah, and Sanders didn't get that catch till late in the fourth quarter, by the way.
Didn't. I thought Emmanuel Sanders didn't even show up for the game. I was a little worried there.
But Jared Cook got the touchdown. I'm just saying.
He got the touchdown, but I get the two board wins, right? Because I beat both of you.
Technically, yes.
Smith had the edge, right?
Yep. Even if you don't do PPR, Smith still outdid me there because Jared Cook got the touchdown, but that's all it is. So, Lance, a good win on this one. I'll be honest, I'm going to go cry after this show. So, just ignore
what's new?
Hey, but Back to Drew Brees real quick. I would say don't get too worried yet. I do think that he's still an elite option.
No, be worried.
Oh, here we go. Be worried. I mean, obviously be worried a little bit, but don't be – he's still going to be a top 10 option in my opinion. He's got plenty of weapons. He's got Kamara. You dump off the ball to Kamara, Kamara's going to get 15 yards. No. Why not, Lance? Why?
No, because – okay, it's not so much a slight against Brees. I'm sorry. The quarterback position is so deep. Drew Brees got dropped in me and Henry's league that we're going head-to-head in this week. Am I picking him up to play him against Henry? No. I'm actually rolling with Justin Herbert because I think that's going to be a better matchup, and he's a better-equipped fantasy quarterback to edge it out. Brees is not a top-10 quarterback anymore. He's not even probably a top 12 to 14 QB. Oh. So you can find better options out there on your waiver wire or even on your bench that I would trust more than Brees at this time, at least not until Michael Thomas gets back, for sure.
That was going to be my question. So Michael Thomas comes back, he's top 10?
I have to see it to believe it first. I'm not going to trust it yet because there's other quarterbacks I like better. I'm sorry.
I agree with that. There, it's a deep, deep quarterback option. So you're right. That there's a lot of good opportunities there.
Very much so. I mean, we just saw Justin Herbert throw for 300 yards, rushing a touchdown, pass a touchdown. It was great to watch that rookie play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Joey Burrow, even though he's throwing the ball 2,000 times a game, guys completing everything, just phenomenal.
But can't throw the damn ball to A.J. Green. Have no idea what's going on there. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but he literally – it's like he was thrown to a ghost that was on top of or on the side of A.J. Green.
It was bad. Saying. However, A.J. Green did have a couple of drops in there where it hit him in the hands, and I was like, just catch the ball, A.J. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to talk about fantasy football-wise, literally billions and billions of options. So now to kick things off even better, faster, and more equipped to handle you guys' team, because I know you're thinking they haven't got to the players that I need. I'm debating what am I going to do with this player from X team. So one thing that we do here with the Late Round Flyers, we talk about every single football team. So we're about to key in on a few special games out here, the games that definitely have the most fantasy football implications. And we're going to kick things off with a game that is about to make history. Last week, I think the Bills game, the three brothers, Tremaine Edmonds, Terrell Edmonds, and Trey Edmonds. It was the first time three brothers played on the same game. And now it's about to happen again with Derek Watt, J.J. Watt, and T.J. Watt with the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers facing off. So this game right here, I would say a very tough defense with the Pittsburgh Steelers facing off against Deshaun Watson that is pretty angry that they have yet to get a win. Boys, help me out what to do here with my fantasy football team, including these two teams.
Yeah, in this game, Pittsburgh is number 4 against fantasy running backs. So I really look to downgrade David Johnson. You'll play him in maybe your flex, but if you have better options, I actually might consider it. Here's the crazy thing. You know, we sit there after week one, we think James Conner is hurt, right? And then he comes back last week, he has 106 yards on 16 carries, a touchdown, and he looks like their primary running back. So, like, I don't know, man. Henry, what did you make of that? Because I'm sitting here, like, thinking I was so happy I didn't draft Conner, and then he goes off, and now I'm looking like a fool.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, Lance, I do think you look like a fool regardless. But when it comes to James Conner, I would say that it was remarkable for him to come back like that. So many people were counting him out. They were already hyping up his backup's backup. I mean, it was like, what happened to James Conner? We don't need him anymore. We're moving on. And then to see him go out there and put up numbers like that, that's the type of stuff that kind of makes you cringe as a fantasy owner, because you're looking at the team that's playing against you and you're like, I think he forgot to change his guy, and he goes off and beats you.
Yeah, the other thing, too, looking at the Houston side of the ball, Will Fuller, man, no points, no catches. You know, I played him in a couple of my teams, and he screwed me over. So do we trust him moving forward Sunday?
What is your thoughts there, man? I'm concerned because he was one of my top wide receivers. I liked the guy. I thought he did great in week one. I really thought this was going to be his year. Lance, I was completely surprised. He didn't get any looks at all. He didn't get – nothing. So what's the reason for that?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really don't know. Bill O'Brien, I've never been a fan of his coaching anyways.
He's destroying the Texans.
We can never figure it out. But I do think, you know, after last week, I thought maybe with Hopkins being gone, Will Fuller might be more of a consistent play each week as opposed to boom or bust. But no, we're back to old habits. So, you know, boom or bust, play him with caution. I don't have him on too many teams, but I tell you, if I've got to make that decision on playing him, I'm going to look at the team that I'm playing that week, and if they got just a monster, a bunch of monsters on their team that are going to put up a ton of points and you need a high upside guy, you put Fuller in. But if it's more of a simpler matchup, play him more. You can probably find a better, more a more better consistent guy on your bench, but I don't trust him.
So is Brandon Cooks the guy now? Is that what's happening there? Has he jumped into the number one spot?
I don't think any of them are my guy. You know, like really all of them, you need to look at these guys from a week-to-week matchup play and act accordingly. I think right now the only surefire fantasy starters are David Johnson, which this week best is a flex, and obviously Watson. But that's what sucks too. This hurts Watson's value as well with these receivers not – knowing what they're going to do. Now, they've had a tough start. They've had some tough defenses they've played these first few weeks. But I think after that, it's going to open up. So if you have Watson as well, you gave up a high round. You picked him in a higher round. Hold tight. If you can, though, pick up a guy like Gardner Minshew. Play him tomorrow night, which, well, when this drops, it'll be playing him tonight. Sorry. But pick up a guy like Minshew. Play him against Miami. Sit Watson just for this 1 week, and then go back to it the next week if you got that roster spot. That would be my suggestion.
Now, what about the Steelers side of the ball? Because obviously Big Ben is starting to get a little bit more comfortable 3 weeks in. You just spoke about James Conner, but Juju Smith-Schuster and that guy that you guys have been talking about during the offseason, Deontay Johnson, what a beast.
That was
crucial drops. Go ahead.
That was going to be my question. I want to know from Lance, is Deontay Johnson the number one guy now? I think Juju Schuster, even though he's putting up good numbers, maybe wide receiver two on that team.
Yeah, I think that's going to go back and forth all season, to be honest. You know, I saw Deontay had 13 targets. He's balling out. That was five more than Juju this week.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be matchup played and what matchup plays and what Ben thinks is going to be best. I think they're both high value top end wide receiver twos right now because it's such a high profile offense. We know this. And Ben is looking like the Ben of old past, like we thought after the year off last year with the injury. He's back. Now you hope he obviously doesn't get re-injured again. And then those values of those receivers are going to just crash like they did last year. But I think right now, if you got Deontay, you got Juju, I'd play them both.
Okay, nice. Both players from both teams. That's a solid thing. Plus, I always love that Big Ben, his number two receiver always looks very good. When Antonio Brown was one, Juju Smith-Schuster looked good. Mike Wallace, obviously, AB was the guy out there killing it. Same thing with Mike Wallace and Santonio Holmes. The number two receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers always are just killing it out there. But let's go to another team that has a killer duo. These guys have been massacring everybody and their mothers. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, playing against the Dallas Cowboys. Who that secondary? Trayvon Smith, the only rookie, the rookie for the Dallas Cowboys, he's injured. He didn't practice today on Wednesday. Chido Awuzie, it will be missing for a few weeks. Anthony Brown is on injury reserve. So they'll be going out there with Jordan Lewis, who's banged up as well. Daryl Worley, another corner that was with the Raiders. And a group of safety that's honestly not that great. So for me, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are going to be killing it. But what are you guys' thoughts on this Seattle Seahawks versus Dallas Cowboys game?
I will tell you right now, start anybody that's playing in this game besides the backup running back for the Cowboys, any tight end for the Seattle Seahawks, because you're going to have a field day if you start them all. I've got Prescott having a great day. Zeke, I think he's going to feast. I think he's going to have a great week. The Seahawks have they've been good against the run this year, okay, but they've played the Falcons and they've played the Patriots. So both of those teams do not focus on the run like Zeke and the Cowboys do. So Zeke has rushed for 185 yards and 64 receiving yards in just two games. I think he's going to go off and he's going to have a great game. It's going to be a shootout. They're going to both be scoring and putting up points. So your players are going to do great. A sleeper, we've kind of talked about him, but I think a sleeper for me is CeeDee Lamb. He looked great against Atlanta. I think he's somebody you're going to go ahead and start this week. The Seahawks led the NFL in receptions, 50. And yards allowed 731 to opposing receivers. They are no longer the Legion of Boom. To give you some perspective too, no other team has allowed 40 receptions or 525 yards against opposing receivers. So Seattle has just gone way above on just being generous on letting people catch the ball and catch some yards on them. So keep that in mind. Start all the Cowboys for sure. Gallup, this may be the game where he pops back up and makes you feel good if you're an owner.
Nice.
And those stats include Miami, Jacksonville, and Houston, who we know are terrible. So, mm-hmm. That's put some perspective. Lance, what are your thoughts with the Cowboys there?
Well, I would also say, look at Seattle's defense last week. They gave up 72 yards apiece to Damir Bird and N'Keal Harry. That tells me all I need to know about what's going to happen Sunday. I bet you this could be a game where Gallup, Lamb, and Cooper all go for 100 yards like the Falcons did in week one. I think that's going to happen. I am down on Zeke. I'm sorry. You know, I know Seattle hasn't played the best running backs, but as of the moment, you know, they're a top 10 defense against fantasy running backs. I don't think it's going to be a Zeke game running the ball. He'll get you your points through the air. I think he'll catch the ball a little bit. So I don't really like any really running backs in this game. It's all about the receivers, but I think this is the get well game for Gallup too, just based on everything that's going on. As far as Seattle, oh yeah, what you got, Henry?
I was just gonna say it may be the get well game, but it may be I got you game as well. So it may be like that game where you're maybe screwed in the long run.
Hey, and on the flip side of that, if Gallup has a big game, say he has 150 yards receiving, a touchdown or two, sell high, baby.
Absolutely.
Sell high. Find that sucker in your league, get a value for him, and you'll be good to go. But if you're not sure who the sucker is in your league, it's probably you.
Yo, day and day. I was about to ask, we don't have a sucker in our league.
okay, Rounders. Yeah.
I love that movie. But, yeah, so looking at Seattle, Lockett, Metcalf, you're locked in. I don't really think there's anybody else that you could trust as far as the receiving cores go. Russell Wilson, oh my God, 9 touchdowns in 2 games. They are letting him for real cook. He's cooking a full meal dinner. He's cooking Thanksgiving. He's cooking Christmas. He's cooking anything that he can find in the damn kitchen, okay? So let's hope Carroll will let him keep it going because I'm loving this. It's amazing. And, man, this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And just for some insight as well, Russell Wilson right now is the highest scoring fantasy player in all of football. DK Metcalf is number 7 leading scorer in fantasy points for wide receivers. So that tells you a lot. They're feeding them the ball.
Is DK Metcalf someone that you now consider someone that you do not bench regardless of the opponent?
Yeah, you do. And I learned that lesson the hard way too. I sat him in a league last week. Actually, I sat him over Scotty Miller. That one I won. Darren Waller bailed me out Monday night. But I wasn't sure to play Metcalf because of you know, New England. Not anymore. DK Metcalf has now submitted himself as a must-start every week. Top 10, top 12 play. He is going to get you that consistency. Never again. Not after last week.
Nice. One of the other receivers that everyone knows across the league is a must start regardless of the opponent, Davante Adams. However, you know, he did suffer that small injury that, you know, screwed him over in that game with the Packers. But let's talk about that Packers game because obviously we have two old guys here, Mr. Rodgers versus Drew Brees. One of them is going to end up winning, but this fantasy matchup is just literally is going to be an extravaganza of a player because like we were talking about last week, Emmanuel Sanders, Tre'Quan Smith, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, you never know with Latavius Murray could steal a touchdown. So there's weapons literally across the board. But with Davante Adams and that injury, I know it's going to open the door for some other guys to go in there and snag some touchdowns. So, guys, talk to me about this Packers versus Saints game.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fun one as well, I think. You know, New Orleans is looking to bounce back after that loss to Vegas. And Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has been playing like – no other. It really feels to me like Green Bay drafted Love just to light a fire under his ass and get the old Aaron Rodgers that we've been looking for. I wouldn't put it past him. So looking at this game, though, obviously we saw Darren Waller killed New Orleans Monday night. You know, he had a huge game, 12 catches. Green Bay, we don't know if Dean we think Devontae's probably going to play. It didn't sound like it's super serious. But one guy I do have my eye on is Robert Tonyan. He's a tight end for Green Bay. He had 2 catches, 25 yards, and a touchdown last week. He is a guy, if you're looking for some tight end help, to maybe – you may want to plug him in if you're just desperate because, you know, like I said, New Orleans, the tight end, they're not really as good against. If Adams doesn't play, I think that's going to mean more targets for Aaron Jones, who he obviously beasted last week. I'm regretting trading him in one of my leagues in the offseason in a dynasty league, but I got DK in that deal. So I think we both made out pretty good, but Henry, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this game?
I actually wanted to get your take, man, on something. I wanted to know Alan Lazard. You know, I'm kind of stuck on him. I favor him because I have him in a couple of my teams. But at the same time, I don't really feel like he's being the guy that he was supposed to be as far as the wide receiver too. Now that Adams is banged up, does he have any value this week in your opinion, Lance?
I really don't. If Adams is out, yes. But if Adams plays, I really don't think so. I think I could find better options in free agency or off of my bench. He's a guy to still hold on to, but if you need the roster spot, you know, you can let him go. But I think, you know, it's just going to be week to week on him. Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball so awesome right now that you kind of want any piece of the offense that you can get. But I feel like for this week, I don't know if I'm playing Lazard unless I'm desperate.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for that.
I agree. You know what, that Lazard one, I know a lot of people are out there still holding hope just like Henry is. So let's keep things moving along and let's talk about the surprise guys that did win on Monday night, the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden with that awesome dance that those guys had in the locker room. If you haven't seen the video, look it up. It was very fun to watch, especially if you're a part of that group. But they take on the New England Patriots. And one thing that no one expected, well, at least the majority of people, was that Cam Newton would have success with that New England Patriots. What's his name? Something Daniels. Is it John Daniels, the offensive coordinator? But anyways, that guy's what is his name, Henry?
Josh McDaniel.
Josh McDaniel. You're thinking of the Texas Rangers?
Man, that's what it is. I got stuck there.
I think so.
But, yeah, Josh McDaniels, hey, I had to adjust completely from Tom Brady, someone that's a statue, to someone of Cam Newton that's a literal statue size, but he can move at will. So what do you guys expect from this game? Because, obviously, that defense for the Patriots is very serious, but that Gruden offense is starting to look like it could surprise a bunch of people this year.
Honestly, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, what was more surprising, the Raiders knocking off the Saints in their home opener there at that new stadium, or Cam Newton's play after coming back healthy? I mean, he's off to a career best in passing and rushing to start a season. He's leading all quarterbacks with 26 carries, rushing touchdowns with 4, and carries inside the 5-yard line with 5. So he's a must start this week. You got to start Newton. I think you even consider just, you know, rolling with Newton for the next few weeks when you look at his matchups that are coming up. Newton may be the guy this season that's going to be the comeback player and definitely going to put up a lot of fantasy points for your fantasy team. He's making Edelman look like he just came out of college and is going to be a sure Hall of Famer, first ballot. Edelman's coming off a career-high 179 yards on 8 catches. He had 11 targets. He made that a one-handed catch. It was like 40 yards down the field, right on the 20-yard line, and set him up for that go-ahead. Well, actually, you know what? It didn't set him for the touchdown, I don't believe. But still, Edelman ran out there and looked great. N'Keal Harry is another one on the rise. I was going to ask Lance, man. I mean, again, another guy, and I'm that kind of fantasy owner where I kind of fall in love with my players. So if you're that guy, I'm the one that you can relate to. But N'Keal Harry is another one that I have on my team. Is he a wide receiver 3 yet, Lance? Has he put himself in that position where you can trust him as a wide receiver 3? He had 12 targets, caught 8 of them for 72 yards.
I don't know yet. That was a game flow, you know, with him getting all those targets, I think. That Seattle secondary we know is not what it used to be. So I'm not trusting him yet. You know, I'll stash him. I don't think I actually even have him on any of my teams. He's someone to look out for. If Edelman gets hurt or – you know, Bird gets hurt, maybe there's some more targets there. But I think right now with New England, the only wide receiver you really still obviously want to trust is Edelman because of him going off. I do think in this game, you know, Vegas is number 2, the second worst rushing team for fantasy running backs. Well, I just transfer that, equate that over to what Cam Newton's going to do. And by the way, I will pat myself on the back for a move I made last week that got me a win in a 2-quarterback league. I sat Jared Goff, put in Cam as my QB2, and that was what won me my matchup there. I was nervous there, though, because that 4th quarter I was down and I kept waiting for some points, but it came. I got the win. So, you know, things tend to even out in the end, right?
Oh, definitely, all the time.
And that's nice. Hey, another one, too, to look out for. You mentioned him earlier, Darren Waller. He played 92% of the snaps last week, and he was targeted 16 times during that upset against the Saints. He finished the night with 108 yards and 1 touchdown. I think Waller, he's up to 24 targets on the season, second only to DeAndre Hopkins. So Seeing those stats, man, that tells you he's a must start. I think he's going to roll, and he's going to keep it going against the Patriots.
So you say must start, right? And he had a great game Monday night. that New England defense, they're coming off that loss to Seattle. They're coming back home. I don't know if they're playing in front of fans. But Belichick is going to have that team ready. I don't trust any Vegas wide receivers or tight ends, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is because I'm playing Mike Gesicki over Darren Waller in one of my leagues.
Ooh. Sounds like we have a board bet.
Is Mike Gesicki like. Versus Waller? Do is we? That what I'm hearing here?
That's what hey. We're hearing.
I mean, I'm on a roll, so let's do it, baby.
Let's do it. Man. I got Waller all day.
Can I pick a random tight end, too, or no? No, it's all right. It's all right.
You can stick with your Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, okay.
Ooh, by the way, I'll be honest, that's just a terrible team right now. They're looking very horrible. Another team that's looking pretty bad, but not for the same reasons as Minnesota. They're not just garbage. But the San Francisco 49ers, they play the New York Giants. Both teams are looking very bad because one team lost their best player by far, Saquon Barkley, and the other one lost their best player by far, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Raheem Mostert, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm talking about those guys are just beat. Debo Samuel's still not back. So Jimmy Garoppolo over there with the 49ers is looking bad for their 49ers team, especially because the players talked about how much they hated playing at MetLife, and now jokes on them because the New York Giants share the same stadium as the Jets, so they're right back at there again. What do you guys think about this matchup?
I just want to say one thing. Isn't there a movie about this game that's about to be played? I think it's called The Replacements. I'm not sure, but I think there's a movie that is exactly lined up for what this game is. I think the number one for every position is out for this game, which is crazy.
I'm playing John Wick this week.
Oh, nice.
Good call.
Get the reference, guys. Replacements, Keanu Reeves, John Wick. I kind of brought it full circle.
Yeah, you went full circle there. That was almost – was he in a movie with Kevin Bacon? I'm not sure.
Well, this definitely – to Henry's point, this is going to be like the all injury game. I tell you, I feel so bad for San Francisco. You know, they sit there, they've lost Mostert, they've lost Coleman. We don't know if Kittle's going to play Sunday. We don't know if Garoppolo's going to play. It's maybe the Nick Mullins show. But it's weird, though. I think this could be, I could be way wrong, but I think this could be a sneaky shootout game. Don't ask me why. It just feels like it could be a Daniel Jones versus Nick Mullins type game.
Hey, Lance, hold on. We just got a report. I think Kyle Shanahan stubbed his foot right now, so he's not going to be coaching on the sideline.
Oh, they bringing back George Seifert?
They may.
Coach. From the grave. Yeah, you like that reference? What's up? I'm old school. Good. I'm old.
Hey, so, Lance, what do you think about the running back situation of that? Because obviously they're going to have Wilson and McKinnon out there as the running backs now that Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman are both out.
I tell you, I love, love, love Jerick McKinnon this week. You know, I feel so happy for this guy. Talking about, you know, guys you feel terrible for like Sutton. Then on the flip side, guys like McKinnon who've been out for 2 years, and now he's getting an opportunity. He hasn't had that many touches the first 2 weeks, but he's produced with them. So now they're going to have to ask a little bit more out of him. So I think he has super high flex value. I'm even plugging him in, maybe even as an RB2 on a couple of my teams, just because I'm not going to say I'm desperate, but with other injuries, I've just kind of got to put him in there. But I do think Jeff Wilson could vulture some touchdowns at the goal line there. You know, last year when he came in, he would get these touchdowns. He would get you no yards. So I think Jeff Wilson might be a decent stash if Mostert and Coleman end up being out a super long time, because the next few weeks he could provide some high upside flex value. Henry, you're looking at this backfield. What are you thinking?
You know, I think you're right on that. I'm actually looking at the Giants, man, if it's okay to flip over there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a sleeper there. But obviously, I think Darius Slayton is going to have a quality start. We got Sterling Shepard's on the IR. But a sleeper, man, is Golden Tate. I think he's somebody that is going to get his catches. He's going to get his targets. And that's somebody that if you're kind of in a desperation mode and you need to find that flex or that wide receiver three, go grab Golden Tate, plug him in. I think you're not going to regret it.
Oh, definitely, especially because Richard Sherman isn't playing for the 49ers as well. So that backfield, that secondary for the 49ers also taking a hit. Real quick, I want to get you guys' thoughts because obviously no Saquon. Enter Devontae Freeman also, like myself. You know, again, we talked about that earlier, but do you guys see him producing out of the gate, or is it going to take a couple weeks for him to be any kind of relevant for the fantasy football world?
I personally think it's going to be a few weeks. And to be honest, the range of outcomes for Devontae Freeman – is vast. He could end up being part of a committee and it's him, Gallman, and Lewis, or he could end up being the bell cow back and he's getting everything. But let's think about this too, though. You know, if you're running out and grabbing Freeman on the waiver wire, I get it because there's potential there. But if you look at what Saquon was doing with that offensive line, do we think Freeman can do much better or yes. not? That's a big question mark for me. So I'm not saying don't put in for Freeman. God knows I did in some of my leagues. But temper your expectations because we need to actually see this play out. And definitely I think it's going to be at least 2 to 3 weeks before you even want to maybe look at playing him even in your flex.
You know, Lance, I want to know. I want you to admit it to the world. Were you one of the guys that went after him in our RT Sports League that bet on him?
No, I didn't. No. You know why? I forgot about the waiver wire in that league. I was so focused on my other leagues, I forgot. That's why I didn't get Tannehill.
You know, a lot of stuff that I'm reading, though, is that Freeman is going to get the opportunity to be the cowbell, and he's going to get the opportunity to be the lead back there. And I think he's the only one out of all those backs that have actually been a three-down back and has been the guy like that. So temper your expectations. Like Lance said, last year he didn't do anything. There's a reason that he sat for a while and the teams weren't going to pay him money. But you never know. Right offense, right opportunity, right time, things happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they gave him $3 million. Maybe he does pop off in a couple of weeks like Lance is talking about. So let's get to the other game, the last one that, you know, we'll get real into depth about. But I'm talking about one of the most high-flying, super energetic games, one of the best games you will probably see in 2020. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, versus the reigning MVP, currently Lamar Jackson. Monday Night Football will be an explosion. I'm talking about these guys. I'm thinking they might have something of what the Chiefs versus Rams looked a few years ago. But that's myself, Henry. What can you tell us about this crazy, insane matchup we're about to get?
I hope so, man. I hope it's just as good because Patrick Mahomes is my guy in every league. So if it goes off like that game, then I'm going to have a great week. But my concern is sometimes, you know, these high expectations kind of let you down on these Monday Night Football games. It's very strange. But in Baltimore, what I'm looking at there is the running back situation. I know a lot of people are probably sitting there going, I got Dobbins, I got Mark Ingram, who do I start? One thing that's very clear is that they're doing running back by committee over there. Dobbins led the team with 40% of the snaps in the opener. And then in week two, Ingram led the team with 42% of the snaps. So Dobbins only saw 20 snaps in week two, tying Gus Edwards. So you really can't tell who's going to be the lead guy there. I will tell you, Dobbins is the goal line guy for the most part. He seems to be getting a lot of touches there. I don't really recommend starting anybody this week there. But if you do and your hands are forced, I would go with Ingram. It seems to be a safer bet. Now, looking at the other side, though, and I know Lance, this is his boy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, he took a big dip. He went from 67% of the offensive snaps, carrying the ball 25 times. He was targeted 2 times in the opener. Then on Sunday, he had 10 times he ran the ball, 8 targets. He did play in 63% of the offensive snaps, but they were playing from behind. It was weird. Mahomes just couldn't get in that groove. I called it. I told you guys he never plays well against the Chargers, but it's a little shaky there, man. I mean, what are you going to do this week as a Clyde Edwards-Helaire owner, Lance?
Well, as you know, I have him in the RTS league that we're playing against one another. I can't sit him. I mean, if I did, I have Montgomery to play over him, but come on. I mean, this game's too big. I am basically throwing last week's game out the window. You know, the game flow on that was just terrible. I mean, Mahomes didn't even get going to the second half. And I just think that was just an anomaly. You know, like you said, Mahomes plays tough. He has tough games against the Chargers, and I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, no, that was a great call, Henry.
I want to dig deep too. I mean, is this something that we're seeing that maybe they're trying to change the culture there, or maybe, you know, Coach Reed there is overthinking things and trying to run the ball a little more, trying to get the running game involved a little more than usual and sticking away from the normal pass, which has won them championships in the past. Another thing too, man, to look at, and this is just for owners of CEH, is the insurance package. Who do you keep? Darwin Thompson had 15 snaps over Darrell Williams, 8 last week. So should CEH go down for any reason, which we don't want to, you know, curse that on Lance, even though I'd love to see him lose, is who would be the guy that's going to step up after that happens? So that's something you really got to look at and think about as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Williams was – I think he was hurt last week too. That's why Darwin Thompson got some extra of those snaps. So I think if Darrell Williams is healthy, he'll be the one that you want just because he knows the offense. I will say too, on the game Monday night, Baltimore is like the fifth worst against the tight end. So Travis Kelce, not that it should be any shock, he's going to have, I think, a monster game. But I think in in general, you're going to throw both of these defenses out the window. Okay. It's Monday Night Football. It's not going to be to the extent of Rams Chiefs from a couple of years ago in Mexico, where it was just a bonanza of points.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think though, we're going to have a lot of points scored. You know, you're going to, I guess you'll play the Baltimore defense if you have them, but you might want to look at some other options. But, you know, I think it's going to be still high scoring. But Kelsey will be huge. I think Marquise Goodwin
Brown.
Yes, Marquise Brown, my boy. I think he's going to have another big game. So, Henry, if you want to pick another receiver for three straight weeks to go against Mr. Brown, Mr. Hollywood, go for it, my friend. Okay,
Calvin let's Ridley. Do it. I got you, Calvin Ridley.
No,
heads up.
That's
heads
just up. That's just not fair. Okay, that's not right. That's
okay, I got you one. I got one. AJ Green.
Okay, done.
Okay, AJ Green. There we go. Another board bet. AJ Green and Marquise Goodwin.
yeah, don't joke,
hey,
right?
Here's a question though, Sammy Watkins. Before we move on to the next,
what? Segment. No, move.
I want to know. I want to know. He's coming back from injury. Do you trust him?
No.
Took him out there.
I trusted him. I trusted him last weekend. Okay. Ooh. And because I trusted him, he let me down and I lost. If I had played anybody else on my bench over him, I would. And I knew better. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I knew better and I didn't. So I'm dropping his ass and kick rocks, man. No.
Make sure we're on the same page there. I think he had the best game of the year week one. So he's done.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Hey, man. Hopefully that game ends up being exactly what you guys are talking about over here. And it's just phenomenal to watch. So fantasy football wise, start everybody according to these guys. It's going to be an absolute shootout. We'll have tons of points. Hopefully those guys rally you and maybe you get that comeback on your friends so you can talk some more trash. But let's kick things going because, again, we have a lot of games to get to. So the Thursday night game, obviously, by the time this drops, fans will be listening to it, but it'll be tonight. So let's kick things off. The beard, Ryan Fitzmagic versus the mustache that is Gardner Minshew. What do you guys think about this game?
Yeah, so we're going to kind of do some quick hits here because some of these games don't need a lot of talking about, to be honest. So we're just going to hit these really fast. So Jaguars Dolphins tomorrow night, I think it's going to be a big game for Minshew and the offense for Jacksonville. Look for Keelan Cole. He's had 105 yards, two touchdowns, 11 catches through the first 2 weeks. Mike Gesicki is going to have a really good game. Jacksonville is the second worst against fantasy tight ends. So look for him in that game. Downgrade Parker Williams. I wouldn't trust any of the running backs for Miami as well. Looking at the next game, we got Washington against Cleveland. Logan Thomas, you know, Cleveland is the worst team against fantasy tight ends. Logan Thomas, if you have him, I would play him. He's had 17 targets through the first 2 weeks, tied with Terry McLaurin. So look for Logan Thomas. Washington gives up the third most points to quarterbacks. I actually think Baker Mayfield's going to have a big day. I know, Henry, you don't like him, but I do think Baker is going to have a good game, and hopefully it doesn't hurt the running backs too much. But look at Baker as a possible option if you can't find anything better. Next, we got Bengals, Eagles. So the Bengals, you know, they had C.J. Uzomah seemed to be a good target of Joe Burrow, and then he got hurt. Drew Sample comes in, seven catches, nine targets for 45 yards. That's another young tight end in Dynasty I really would look to pick up, and he could have super value this year because Burrow, a rookie quarterback, he likes to hit those guys, those comfort blankets, and he definitely could be one of those. I had a note here about Rieger slowly but surely getting better. Oddly enough, obviously we know what happened today, so I don't think I would trust any of the wide receivers. Play your Goddard, play your Ertz. You'll be good to go there. Next, we got the Panthers and the Chargers. Mike Davis obviously was a hot waiver wire pickup. He had eight catches last week. So if you got him, plug him in. He'll be a good fixture for you for the next few weeks until McCaffrey comes back. And then Josh Kelly for the Chargers. He seems firmly entrenched in the backfield. He had 23 carries last week. Still play your Ecklers. Play your Kellys. You'll be good to go there. And then the last game I have, and I'll kick it back over to Henry, we got the Jets. We got the Colts. With Perriman is out for the Jets, Hogan could see an uptick in targets. You really want to avoid this Jets offense if you have to, but Chris Hogan could be someone as a late round flyer to look at picking up because he could see extra targets. And then on the Indianapolis side of things, Paris Campbell was placed on IR. It's going to be out at least 3 weeks. He was starting to make some headway, and then he gets hurt. Guy to look out for, Michael Pittman Jr. He is someone that could also see an opportunity there along T.Y. Hilton. Don't bail until T.Y. Hilton yet, okay? Yes, he's had two bad games. Yes, he dropped that touchdown pass last weekend. But continue to stick with him because his time is coming. He'll be okay. Henry, what you got for the next game?
All right, starting here, we got the Bears at the Falcons. So David Montgomery is now a must-start. He's proven to be a top running back for the Bears. He's been relied on heavily through the first 2 weeks. He's ranked 17th among all fantasy running backs. So if you got him, go ahead and plug him into your starting lineup. A lot of people have questions right now about Julio Jones, who did not practice today. He's dealing with a hamstring injury and a bruised foot, but he's going to be good to go. Apparently, he's even tweeted out or he has a comment saying, hey, we all play banged up. It's the NFL. He's going to play. So I see him jumping out there. He may not be the same Julio Jones, but I see him bouncing back from a two-catch game. There's no way he's going to keep that going, especially against the Bears' defense. Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones are both in my top 10 starts this week. Rams at the Bills. A must-start, Stephon Diggs. He killed me this week, or last week, excuse me. He's the reason that I lost, but Diggs has clearly become a favorite target for Josh Allen, who's leading the league in passing, believe it or not, across all formats. The Bills' offense is clicking, scoring 27 and 31 points weeks 1 and 2, respectively. The Bills take on the Rams, so it's sure going to be a high-scoring game. I see them bouncing back and forth. Stephon Diggs is going to benefit from that in a very huge way. Sit Jared Goff, though. Even though it's going to be a high-scoring game, I say sit him. Don't let week 2 success blind you. The Bills' defense is deadly, and I do not believe that Jared Goff is going to be the guy that's going to carry you to a win this week. Also, another one is Cooper Kupp. I think that he's going to be somebody that may bring you down and not put up the expected numbers. So if you have somebody comparable or in that area, I would rather roll with him than go against that Bills' defense. Another game, too, Titans and Vikings. So as we talked earlier, the Vikings are trash right now, but at the same time, they can bounce back at any time. They play in a dome. It's kind of up for grabs there whenever they're playing at home. Sit Justin Jefferson. I'm a little disappointed. I mean, obviously, he's a rookie, so most of y'all probably weren't starting him anyways, but if you have any kind of thought that you wanted to, he's only had 6 targets in 2 games, so he's not proven that he's a big enough focal point for that Minnesota offense. I would stay away from him. I would start Corey Davis. Corey Davis is coming off a couple of great games, obviously with A.J. Brown being sidelined and limited. The Vikings lead the league in touchdowns allowed to a receiver this year with 5. So I think Corey Davis is going to be a great start here. He's going to get a great share of the targets, especially if A.J. Brown is still out this week. So go ahead and plug Corey Davis into your starting lineup. Another game, Lions at Cardinals. That's another game that we get to see Kenny Galladay finally back suiting up. So I would say 100% start Kenny Galladay. Don't worry about the rust. The Cardinals just got torched by Terry McLaurin, who's another guy that screwed me in another league. Went off for 7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown with 10 targets. That cost me my fantasy week. I tell you what, Kenny Galladay should win you your fantasy week against the Cardinals. Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola take value. Their values go down a little bit this week. Marvin Jones has kind of been lost. He was expected to do a lot more than he did. Completely disappeared. And then look for Swift to have a breakout game this week. I think this is where Swift really steps up and takes command of his opportunity to be the starting guy there. He's going to have a breakout game against that Arizona defense that's allowed a ton of targets to running backs. Last week, Swift caught 5 of 5 passes for 60 yards. I look for him to just to continue to add on to that and step up and be the guy there in Detroit. The Bucs at the Broncos, final game for me. Jerry Jeudy is now the number one receiver for Denver. With Drew Lock out, I have a hard time trusting Jeff Driskel. So I would sit Jerry Jeudy, though. I would not play him, even though he is the number one guy. So I don't mean to mislead you guys there, because the Broncos are going to be playing from behind most of the week. I get that. But I still feel that Noah Fant is going to be a better option there. And I think that you should stash Jeudy and then either wait for Lock to get back or wait for a better matchup. And go out there and get Noah Fant. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to get all the targets. He's a fast tight end that plays in several different formats. He's going to get the ball, and he's going to get a lot of yards after the catch as well. Melvin Gordon is another guy that I think is going to be heavily used in the passing game. I think that they are going to be playing from behind a little bit, but at the same time, they're going to have to get those first downs. And so I think that Melvin Gordon is going to be an outlet, and he's going to have a really nice day for PPR leagues. Sit Tom Brady, even though that they're going to be up playing above the Broncos most of the game, but they're going to get up early and they're going to feed the ball to the running back, whether it's Leonard Fournette or whoever it may be. And Tom Brady's not going to put up a stellar number. Now, Chris Godwin was cleared to play this week after his concussion protocol. So he's a guy that obviously you're going to have to start him because probably where you drafted him. But him and Mike Evans, I'm really worried about that situation there because I feel like this is going to be a team that's going to get up, rely on the defense, feed the ball to the running back, and drain the clock. And so it's going to be up in the air. Chris Godwin is top five this week, but you know, keep that in mind that he may not get as many looks as you're hoping for this week.
Oh, no, that's definitely. Great, great points to everybody. I'm talking about fantasy football. I know anybody listening out there, you're welcome because all that stuff that these guys gave you, 100% on hit. If not, you could definitely tell us about it. Don't forget Instagram, Twitter, Late Round Flyers. Make sure you go to follow, like, do what you got to do to hit us up on there. But, yeah, I'm talking about, like I said, fantasy football world. It is amazing. Make sure you guys stick around. Guys, you got any last-minute info, some advice to help these guys win, talk trash to their friends, tell them that they're better than them because they listen to us?
Yes, sir. So I want to close with this. I've got a quick segment that I want to debut, see what you guys think. So it's called Fantasy Made, Fantasy Fade. So basically, who's fantasy made? Who is going to be my guy this week to overperform and really just kill it and win you your league or win you your matchup this week? So my fantasy made is going to be Mike Gesicki. I did briefly touch on him on the quick hits. This guy, oh my God, look what he did last week. He was the number two tight end behind Darren Waller for the week. He gets a juicy matchup against the Jaguars. We sit there and Fitzpatrick loves this guy. He's going to feed him the ball. He's healthy. And this is going to be, he's going to be a target monster. So he's my definitely fantasy made. Now, my fantasy fade, this is always going to be a guy that may not be horrible, but they're going to underperform based on where they're being ranked. And for me, week three, this first segment coming out of the gate, I'm coming out on fire. It's going to be Ezekiel Elliott. Oh. My prediction, he will not be a top 10 running back this week. Not be a top 10 fantasy running back this week. Mark it down. You're going to play him. But I'm telling you, the running game isn't going to come into play much against Seattle. So just watch it. There you go. Boys, enjoy.
Lance, I tell you what, I think we've got another board bet because I'll give you my fantasy made and fantasy fades here. My fantasy made, I'm going to stick with my board bet. I think it's AJ Green. I think you can throw the ball 50 times to somebody. It's bound to start. He's bound to start catching that ball. So I got AJ Green as the guy that's going to win you a fantasy week. And then my fade is going to be our next board bet is going to be Mike Davis. I think Mike Davis is going to underperform this week. And I have Ezekiel Elliott, obviously you're doing better than Mike Davis. So if you're willing to take that board bet, I just want to remind you of one thing that the Chargers shut down Mixon to 3.6 carries per game or per carry and one catch. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire to 3.8 yards and three catches. So I don't see Mike Davis having this great game that we think he's going to have. I have him being our fade. He's going to make a lot of waiver wire grabbers a little upset this week.
So what's I'm confused. Are you wanting me – you're taking Mike Davis over Elliott?
I'm taking Zeke over Mike Davis, if you're willing to take that. Because I think Zeke's going to fall – I think Zeke's going to be a number one. I think he'll be a top three for sure. And you're saying he's out of the top 10.
I wasn't an actor in the One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm not that damn crazy. I mean, come on. Mike Davis is a waiver wire pickup in week three going against a top three overall draft pick. Come on, man.
So what I'm hearing, though, if Zeke is top three, Lance wins or loses, but Henry takes it. So top three?
No, he's just got to fall into the top 10. I got Zeke inside the top 10. You got him outside the top 10?
Yeah, I'll do that one. Okay. If we take Davis out of it, I mean, that's fine. Come on.
I thought I was talking to Darius for a trade. My bad.
Okay, exactly. But, yes, I will say right now, Elliott will not be a top 10 fantasy running back. You have him as a top 10 play.
Nice. 100%. I got him top three.
All right. For me personally, my fantasy mate, I'm going to go out there and take my boy Johnny T for the Colts. Man, Jonathan Taylor, I absolutely love this guy. He's coming into his own, especially after the injury to Marlon Mack. So, for me, if you have Jonathan Taylor, believe me, this cat, I'm predicting he's out there two touchdowns and absolutely kills it, 20-plus points in PPR leagues. Now, I wouldn't say standard leagues. Maybe they get like 16 there. But, nevertheless, Jonathan Taylor, a big game. And my fantasy fade, I'm going to have to give that to Ronald Jones because, like Henry was talking about, I think the Bucs are going to get up to a good lead. And once they start feeding the ball to a running back, I think it has to be Leonard Fournette. You give it to your big boss guy that you obviously brought in from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you let that giant behemoth of a man just pound for pound that defense and just absolutely obliterate and destroy all hopes and dreams for them. So Leonard Fournette will be the guy to do everything. Ronald Jones, I get it. He's a starter at the moment, according to Bruce Arians. But for me, Ronald Jones, fade, buddy. Get out of here. You guys, but yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, that's about it. Man, don't forget Instagram, Twitter, Late Round Flyers, Henry, Lance, I'm RDA. We're always around, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter, Instagram again. Late Round Flyers, do not forget that, because we're always around to give you guys the greatest advice ever. And if it doesn't, believe me, we do not fail. We got your back. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a great week. Beat your friends, beat your cousins, your coworkers, anyone out there. Again, we got you the best advice, so y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Hope you guys win some matchups and have a better week than week 2 gave everybody with those injuries. So until then, we'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.